Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say. Okay, back to Isaiah 66, verse 23. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. If there were no people in human fleshly bodies, what sense would saying all flesh shall come to worship before me be? If we were all just spiritual beings, as you and I will be after the rapture and resurrection, you and I won't have a physical, mortal, flesh and blood body, right? This is our time to be flesh and blood now. This just tells us that there will be human beings into eternity. God designed man to care for the earth, and so mankind will do. Verse 24 says, and they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of the men who have transgressed against me. What does it mean to transgress against God? It means to sin, to violate his commandments. For their worm does not die. We're not made of worms. It means they will never pass away. They will never be wiped out of existence. There are lots of denominations out there that teach when you die, if you're not saved, you just poof away into nothingness. Not what the scripture says. It says, for their worm does not die and their fire is not quenched. They shall be an abhorrence to all flesh, meaning we don't want to look. I don't plan on looking. Let's look also at Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, that's the Ten Commandments. Yep, Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 6. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 6. And God spoke all these words, saying. Again, saying, it's a quote right from the lips of God. What does the Lord say in Psalm 89:34? He said, my covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. These words came out of the Lord's lips. He says in verse 2, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Literally, in my face. So, no other gods. Verse 4 says, you shall not make for yourself a carved image. A carved image is something to be worshipped. Any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth, you shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. People unfortunately misunderstand that verse, and they've created a doctrine called generational curses. If my grandpa was a bad guy, and he was, then I am cursed and there's nothing I can do about it. No, that's not what it says. That the iniquity of the fathers passes down to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, that is those who will not repent, those who continue in this sin. And of course, if they continue in this sin, then the guilt is going to continue to flow down. Verse 6, though, says, but showing mercy to thousands, that's thousands of generations. People argue over, is a generation in the Bible 40 years, 50 years, 70 years, 120 years? Let's take the very smallest number. It could be 40. What's 40 years times 1,000? 40,000 years. How long has the earth been in existence since creation? 6,000 years. So if God is going to show mercy to thousands of generations, to those who love me and keep my commandments, that means mankind cannot be extinguished after
6,000 years, not even after 7,000 years. It's just to let us know that the commandments of God will go into eternity future in the new heavens and the new earth, and people will continue to be obedient to God out of faith and out of love, as Adam and Eve should have done back in the Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's not get started in that older. Okay. Back to Revelation. We're up to verse 25. Its gates, that is the gates of the New Jerusalem, shall not be shut at all by day. And it says, there shall be no night there. So it's always daytime. When do we sleep? I don't know. I don't plan to worry about it. But what's the significance of its gates shall not be shut? No worry of invasion. There's no worry about somebody coming up and making war against the Lord and the eternal kingdom. There is no more war. There's no more sin. So there is nothing to be afraid of. Nothing to be afraid of. What if a mountain lion comes into the city at night? Just pet it. That's right. Where do you find that in Scripture? That's in Isaiah 11. Let's go back to Isaiah 11. The nature of animals will be changed, just like the nature of man will be changed. We will be sinless, those that continue in their mortal physical bodies, but the animals' natures will be changed too. Isaiah chapter 11, beginning in verse 6. How many of you either grew up on a farm or live on a farm today? Some of us did, right? It says in verse 6, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. How many of you on this earth would put your wolves and your lambs together? Now you just get fat wolves. But what happens in the kingdom? The natures of the animals are different, and the wolf and the lamb will be friends and will play together. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, meaning graze together. What happens today if you put a bear and a cow in a pen? You get a bear, right? Yeah. Their young ones shall lie down together. That is, they will be friends. They will play together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. How many of you would do that today? Let a cobra be your babysitter? No. The nature of the animals will have changed. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. What's a mountain in prophecy? Kingdom. In the messianic kingdom, the animals will not attack and kill people. People will not attack and kill people. There will be no more war. Where do we read that? Isaiah 2, Micah chapter 4. But in verse 9 here of Isaiah 11, it tells us why. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Why in our world today has the love of many grown cold? The Lord tells us, what did he tell us? The reason is that the love of many has grown cold. Let's go to Matthew 24. The Lord told us. Matthew 24. That's exactly right, Daniel. Verse 12. Matthew 24, 12. And because lawlessness will abound. What's lawlessness? Breaking God's Torah. The love of many will grow cold. We just read about the opposite in Isaiah 11. In the messianic kingdom, the knowledge of the Lord is going to fill the earth like water fills the seas. And when the knowledge of the Lord fills the earth once more, then the nature changes. Back to Revelation 21. Verse 26, and they, referring to the nations, shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. That lets us know that the new Jerusalem is for those of us in our new heavenly bodies. But on the rest of the earth, there will be live people who will bring honor and glory to the Lord from the nations. Yes.
Wouldn't it make sense if God's going to change the nature of all the animals, that he's also going to change the nature of those who came into the millennial kingdom in the flesh?
Yep. Isaiah 2 says they will learn war no more. Micah 4 says they'll learn war no more. Which is going to be a beautiful thing. But in verse 26, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. Can you give me any other scriptures that talk about the nations are going to come up to the kingdom? What's that?
Zechariah 14.
Let's go to Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14:16 takes place when the battle of Armageddon is over and the Lord has established his messianic kingdom on earth. And it further describes what we read in Isaiah 2 and Micah 4 when it says in verse 16, and it shall come to pass that everyone who's left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem, that is for the battle of Armageddon, shall go up from year to year, meaning every year, to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So from all the nations of the world that remain, they're going to flow up to Jerusalem every year to worship the King and to keep the feasts and festivals, especially the Feast of Tabernacles, which is called the Feast of All Nations. Verse 27 of Revelation 21. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I have stopped seeing the posters around town, the little placards put on little stakes in the ground, that I did for the longest time this spring, that kept saying, Jesus loves and saves everyone. I don't know who had put them up, and I don't know who took them down. But there are denominations out there that teach that everyone will be saved. So live your life any way you want to in this world. Rape, murder, kill, doesn't matter. You're going to be saved anyway, like it or not. What does this verse tell us? There shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So we need to look about that. Who's written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Let's go to first Philippians chapter 4. Philippians, not Philippines, Philippians. Comes right after Ephesians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. Philippians 4, verse 3. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. So who does Paul say there, whose names are written in the book of life? Those who are saved, those who are believers. What does it mean, labored with me in the gospel? It means to help share the gospel message. Let's go all the way back to the book of Malachi. Malachi is right before Matthew. And I won't make any Malachi jokes today. Malachi 3:16. Malachi 3:16. Then those who feared the Lord, what's it mean to fear the Lord? To be obedient to the Lord. Spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. His name describing his nature, his character, and the fact that Messiah Yeshua brings salvation to all those who put their faith and trust in him. Let's bounce back to the New Testament, to the book of Luke, chapter 10. Why do I sometimes bounce back and forth between the Old Testament and the New Testament? To show that they don't teach something different. I wish they hadn't labeled our Bibles that way, Old Testament and New Testament, because people think that means anything not in the New Testament's not relevant. But that's not what it means at all. Luke 10, verse 20. Before I read verse 20, somebody give me proof that the Old Testament is not done away with, abolished, and never more to be thought of. Paul told Timothy, remember the scriptures. Messiah said, Matthew 4:4, but give me something physical and tangible. What happens when it rains? There's a rainbow. That is God's covenant in Genesis chapter 9. Has that covenant been done away with? The rainbows are gone? No. Every time you see a rainbow, you should think God's covenant still applies. God's word has never been broken. Okay, Luke 10:20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Does God hire a sky writer to use smoke signals to write our names in the sky? No, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about our names being written where? In the Lamb's Book of Life. And then finally, Exodus chapter 32. Go all the way back to the Torah. Exodus chapter 32. The book of life is not just a New Testament concept. In Exodus 32, starting in verse 31, it says, then Moses returned to the Lord and said, oh, these people have committed a great sin and have made for themselves a god of gold. What's that talking about? The golden calf. At Mount Sinai. Before or after God spoke to them with his own voice? After, but not long after. Verse 32 says, yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book which you have written. And the Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. So the book of life goes all the way back to the beginning. Make sure your name's written in it. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life. Living water, Mayim Chayim in Hebrew. What is that picture? The Holy Spirit. So here there is a literal river, But it also pictures the Holy Spirit being given so freely to all who believe. And show me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Where is the throne of God and of the Lamb? It's in the New Jerusalem. So this pure river of living water flows from the throne of God in the New Jerusalem. Let's go back to John chapter 7 and read about something else that took place every year at the Feast of Tabernacles. On the seventh day, the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, called Hoshana Rabbah, which means the great salvation. John chapter 7. Verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast. Again, the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles. That's today, this year. No, it's tomorrow, right? Tomorrow. Tomorrow this year. Aha, tomorrow is the seventh day. Monday is the eighth day. Okay. It's called Hoshana Rabbah, the great salvation. That's what it means by that great day of the feast. Yeshua stood and cried out, saying, what's taken place? What's the setting? Messiah is on the Temple Mount. The priests have gone down the Temple Mount to the pool of Siloam. Siloam comes from the word for the sent one, and also of peace. And they take water out of the pool of Siloam, and they carry it up to the Temple Mount, to the temple, to the altar out in the courtyard where all the people can gather. And they pour the water out by the altar and pray to God for the life-giving water, by which they mean the rain. Because if there's rain in its season, there's crops and people can eat. No rain in its season, no crops. People go hungry. So every year they would cry out for the life-giving waters, meaning the rain. And Yeshua stood up and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. What does that mean? If you are a believer saved by faith, you have within you the ability to share your faith, to tell people about the gospel, to enlighten them, to help them find salvation in God through Messiah, so that they too can be saved. That's what it means, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, referring to the Holy Spirit. We as believers have the Holy Spirit within us. And you have the ability not to give it to someone, but to share the gospel message through which they may too get saved and get sealed and indwelt by the Holy Spirit. It says, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Yeshua was not yet glorified. Until Messiah was crucified, buried, and resurrected, the Holy Spirit did not physically, permanently seal and dwell in people. Therefore, many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, truly, this is the prophet. Did they say a prophet? They said the prophet. The prophet is different from a prophet. Refers to the prophet of Deuteronomy chapter 18. So turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 18 and see what they mean by the prophet. They didn't have full clarity, but they said, Moses told us to watch for one to come. And this is him. Deuteronomy 18, beginning in verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me. What's Moses mean, like me? Moses spoke to God face to face. All the other prophets through dreams and visions, but Moses spoke to God face to face. So this prophet will speak to God face to face. Like me from your midst, from your brethren. So he has to come from the Jewish people. Him you shall hear. That's not a suggestion, is it? according to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, that's at Mount Sinai, saying, let me not hear the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire anymore, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth. He shall speak to them all that I command him. What does it mean, and will put my words in his mouth? How do we know that refers to Messiah? What did he say that lets us know that? Go to the book of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14, God bless you. Everybody knows verse 15. If you love me, what? Keep my commandments. But then, let's go down. Verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them. What's that mean, and keeps them? Does them. Do them every year. Okay. It is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Verse 23, Yeshua answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but what? The Father's who sent me. This tells us with all assurance that Yeshua, our Messiah, is the one that Moses spoke about in Deuteronomy chapter 18. The one whom God said, I will put my words in his mouth. What did Messiah say in verse 24? The word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Is that the only time he said that? No. If you look back in verse 10 of John 14, it says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. So he's giving all glory to God. The reason we came back here was because in Revelation 22:1 said, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. That's true in the eternal kingdom, but it's also true in the New Jerusalem. Let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 47. We saw in Ezekiel 43 earlier today that Messiah returns and sits on the throne and says, this is the place of my throne, this is the place of the soles of my feet, my ownership and possession. But in Ezekiel chapter 47, starting in verse 1, it describes the river that will flow from the throne where Messiah sits in the Messianic kingdom here on earth. Chapter 47, verse 1 of Ezekiel says, then he brought me back to the door of the temple. How do we know this is in the Messianic kingdom and not in the new heavens and new earth? Because Ezekiel's talking about the kingdom, and in Revelation 21 it said there is no temple in the New Jerusalem. And here it says he brought me back to the door of the temple. So this is the Messianic kingdom. And there was water flowing from...
Well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org, where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every book in the Bible. So you can listen online, or you can right-click on the link and download the file to your iPhone, iPad, or however you like to listen to your teachings. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.